Ranch sorting, it's the best sport on the earth. Why? Because everybody can do it. If you can ride a horse, you can ranch sort. It's a round pen, the figure eight pen. You have cattle numbered 0 through 9 on one side. You get 60 seconds to sort them to the other side. The judge will have their flag up. When you cross the line, they call a number. And if you start with number one, you go sort number 1, 2, 3, all the way up until your time expires, with the goal getting all 10 head across the line there. Fun, fast-paced cattle sport.
You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to The Ride, a podcast brought to you by Horse and Rider Magazine, hosted by Nicole Cherico and Emily Carey. Today's episode of The Ride is sponsored by Tribute. This summer, Tribute Equine Nutrition is celebrating America the best way they know how, with horses, family, and a little red, white, and blue fun. As a family-owned company safely making feed right here in the USA, they have launched a new patriotic horse treats your horse will love. Even better, every bag of Tribute sold helps support PATH International Equine Services for Heroes programs, serving veterans through equine-assisted therapies. If you haven't tried Tribute yet, get a free personalized feeding plan and your first bag free at TributeEquineNutrition.com.
Hey there, and welcome back to The Ride. I'm your host, Emily Carey, and today I'm joined by Tanner Spurrell, one of the many faces behind the scenes of Cinch RS&C. Now, Tanner's official title is Customer Service Liaison, but his role extends far beyond that. From coordinating events and working with contestants to helping manage the countless moving pieces that go into every show, he's deeply involved in what it takes to keep ranch shorting events running at the highest level. By the time this episode airs, we'll be just days away from the kickoff of the 2026 Cinch RS&C World Finals in Fort Worth. So today, we're sitting down with Tanner to talk about everything that goes into producing ranch sorting events, how the World Finals came together, what happens behind the scenes that most people never see, and why the details matter so much when it comes to creating a great experience for competitors and fans alike. Tanner, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you for having me. Excited.
So now you've become such a huge part of the growth and the production side of Cinch RS&C, and all the ranch shorters know you, but for our listeners who are not as familiar with the sport and with the Cinch RS&C, how did you first get involved in ranch shorting? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and what pulled you into the industry?
Absolutely. So I grew up down in south of Denver area. My parents, when I was born, we had some acreage and some horses. We were pretty much into elk hunting. My dad was an outfitter, and so born and raised up in the mountains. And then for our neighbors across the street moved out, and they started this game called ranch sorting, and took my mountain horses over there, and you could not take me away from that. The idea of chasing cows on horseback, the people, the barn dances, Mike and Sherry O'Brien were a big part in getting me started on that. I fell away from it for a while when we moved into the city, and it wasn't until like my high school year we had some friends join us down there in Sedalia, Colorado. The Gold Bar Ranch, Buck and Jane Morrow had a place, and I'd just go over there and practice. And then I went to college, University of Wyoming, and brought my horse up there. And some buddies and I saw a flyer for ranch sorting in Wellington, Colorado, at the Wolf Arena, Dave and Mandy Wolf. And so we went down there, rode my first RS&C sanctioned event, won a buckle with Miss Rose Walker, and it was on my paint horse, who I could not put a bridle in. I was in an English side pull, and she was a great paint horse, but I had the time of my life at that event. Still have the buckle to this day, and ever since then, I have only missed 4 Wolf production shows since April of 2017. After that, I went through college for a couple years, and I got on board with the RSNC. I convinced my mom to fly me down to Arizona to visit my grandparents with the ulterior motive of going to work for Logan and Jesse. They had just started Western States Productions back in 2019. They had a show at Pam Har's Ranch in Tucson, Arizona, and got to go down there. And I just showed up and said, I'm here to work. I have no idea what I'm doing, but I would love to be a part of the production. And so they found me a place to stay. I stayed in between, they call it the Harry Potter room, because it was a closet behind the bathroom underneath the stairs and the ranch house, on a cot that I was probably two times the size of. And then I just worked cattle there. Logan threw me in the back pens, swapping cattle out through the event. I think they had maybe like 150, 200 teams for the weekend. Very small show. They were just getting started. Logan gave me my paycheck and said, hey, you want to go on the road with us? And after that, I dropped out of college. I decided that this is the people, the place, the thing that I wanted to do and could see a career out of it. My parents were a little little disappointed in my decisions at first, but I showed them that this was a real deal. This was a real company. Cinch had just bought it from Dave and Mandy. And so there was an opportunity there to kind of grow with the sport. And I worked under Logan and Jesse for a lot of their other companies to learn how to ride a sorting horse. Bought my first sorting horse. His name was Pedro. And second sorting horse, I guess, was Pedro. And ended up taking him for like 3.5 years. Bought him from Logan and Jesse. Won like $120,000 on him. Paid $10,000 for a sorting horse, which at the time was crazy. My dad bought mountain horses, and our horses ranged from purchase prices of a dollar to maybe $2,000, I think, is what we gave for that paint horse. So to spend $10,000 on a sorting horse, my family thought I was nuts, but I fell in love with the sport. I absolutely loved it. I love the people. Dave and Logan and Jesse and Mandy and Cassandra, who was in the office at the time, and Susie, they were instrumental in kind of getting my love for the sport, and been on fire for it ever since.
Yeah, you really dove in, you know,
head first,
feet, and didn't look back. Yeah,
no, I was. These are the people. This is what I'm doing, and I'm very grounded in my faith, and I think God just kind of had a plan to place me here with these people and allow me the opportunities that He has. Certainly not what I had envisioned. I was going to school for accounting, ag business degree, not really sure what I wanted to do, but college scene just really wasn't fitting in for me. And I saw an opportunity to travel the country with my horse, and I was all in.
And well, you're kind of using your degree. So you started off in the, you know, in the cattle pens in the back, but now you are kind of the front man in the office.
Yeah. You know, yeah, I worked my way up. I knew quickly that, you know, people are built for different things, and manual labor is one that I can appreciate, the people that do it, but knew that that is not where I wanted to be full time. And so Dave was gracious enough to, he had me do all the manual stuff, but then I kept pestering him, you know, what do you got inside? What do you got inside? And I want, you know, what can I do in the office? And so I started processing memberships there at the beginning with the Cinch group. And so I worked in that way. I shadowed under Cassandra for a year, processing shows, kind of learning the ins and outs of the organization. And then Susie retired, and Dave offered me a position in the office, and I was able to just kind of keep going up from there, working with producers at the beginning, slowly working my way into the production side of things. And yeah, just was able to give a great opportunity, great learning experience. Cassandra and I were both young and hungry in our early 20s, and we both thought we knew what we were doing, but we had no idea. And we just, by the grace of Dave taking on two young kiddos in his office, I think we brought a fresh perspective and some challenges, but we all worked through it and ended up working my way up to now, like you said, being able to travel with the production crew, running the show events as the main secretary, but doing anything from judging, announcing, gates, cattle, all sorts of things, and then processing shows, dealing with the members, members' needs, at events, and then post events as well too. So kind of full circle from the ground up.
Yeah. So for our listeners who aren't as familiar with Cinch RSNC, the RSNC team and the horse and rider team work very closely on a daily basis. So I'm fortunate I get to work with Tanner and Logan all the time. But so for Tanner, for our listeners who aren't as familiar with the sport, can you give us just a quick 30-second roundup of what is ranch sorting in the RSNC?
Ranch sorting. It's the best sport on the earth. Why? Because everybody can do it. If you can ride a horse, you can ranch sort. It's a round pen, the figure eight pen. You have cattle numbered 0 through 9 on one side. You get 60 seconds to sort them to the other side. The judge will have their flag up. When you cross the line, they call a number. And if you start with number one, you go sort number 1, 2, 3, all the way up until your time expires, with the goal getting all 10 head across the line there. Fun, fast-paced cattle sport.
Yeah, it really is a sport, you know, for anyone. It's a very welcoming community that everyone can be a part of, no matter what level you're at. And you get to deal with these people on a daily basis. You're constantly fielding phone calls and answering emails and putting out fires all over the place. What is your role? What is your daily, you know, your daily day look like when you're on the road and when you're not on the road?
Yeah. So daily day in the office is catching up on emails, working with producers, visiting with producers on their past weekend's events, making sure that if there was any needs that were need to be addressed, that we walk them through that, if there's any challenges, but mainly just trying to support them, understanding how the event went, how we can best, you know, continue to grow their ranch sortings each weekend. Because the idea behind the RSNC is, you know, we're a production company that puts on, you know, 10 high quality events throughout the year. But the base of our association is our local weekend producers. And so my job is to make sure that we are checking in with them, making sure that their needs are met. And if they have ideas, figuring out how we can incorporate those ideas into the association as a whole, and trying to help them grow their local clubs and organizations to where we can have big state finals at the year end. We keep members engaged throughout the season to where they want to come and support those events, but also figuring out what's working in one, you know, in this side of the country, what's working in another, building and bringing those ideas together to Logan and the team to make sure that we're building a product that people want to support, want to come in and be a part of. It's building the family. That's kind of my job here. We joke about that a lot, but I think it's something that our association can build on, is the family aspect here is we all, you know, I've known a lot of these sorters for 7-8 years now. I've gotten to see a lot of families, you know, have little ones grow up to where their high school graduations are now, or even family and friends that have started their own families with little ones joining us here this year. So it's a neat experience to go through all the highs and lows of life with these sorters. Yes, they're members, but they're also, I consider them, a lot of them family and close friends that we just get to experience life with through the sport that brought us together, that we all love. So it's a very cool job that comes with a lot of responsibilities that you know, can kind of weigh on a person, but at the end it's very rewarding because you get to see all these relationships grow and blossom, and it's really neat to have those personal connections with people. And I could break down in any state in this country and have somebody to call, and they would get their trailer hooked up. They'd come bail me out. They have bailed me out. You know, truck caught on fire. Somebody sends a truck trailer, all the haul 9 yards. They're meeting me halfway to get them there. It's very blessed to have the people in this association, in this sport, in the industry. That's just brings back there is hope in humanity. Especially in a world that just kind of feels a little crazy right now. So they're very grounded people. And I've been fortunate enough to have a lot of great friends met through this sport.
Yeah, I love hearing that. And, you know, I've been fortunate to go to some events with you guys and meeting these ranch shorters, and it really is such a family, such a community that you guys have built over the years that's completely different from a lot of other associations and a lot of other disciplines. Yeah. So, like you just said, you deal with these with people a lot. You are very, very busy. What is one thing that people assume about your job that's completely untrue?
I think people think that I do everything, and I don't. I have a great team that the RSNC has brought on. Jennifer Smith, Patty Briner are in the office. They cover for me when I am gone. Jennifer is the brains behind of all the world finals and stall reservations, RV reservations. Handling that is a big task. That takes a lot of planning, things like that. Patty is in the office constantly just bailing me out. Hey, I really need this done. Can you work on it? And I don't give her a lot of direction. I'm just like, this is what I need it, and this is where it is. And so people just assume that I can get a lot of things done, which on the outside, I could see where they get that. But it's not without the team that I have here to make that happen too. Patty's on the phone. She's answering membership questions. She's getting back to people, providing that level of customer service that our members deserve. And one that Logan, our event director, certainly requires out of us as a staff, because we want people to know that when they call the office, they're going to get a response. They're going to get the answers that they need, because we want to make sure we're selling the product that they want to continue to do. And I think in this day and age too, you know, it just that level of customer service that you can get from a quick phone call, an answer, an email, a response is something that a lot of people want out of other companies, and they just can't get it like they do here. You know, you get to build those personal connections and things like that too. But no, the office team makes me look good. I just try to keep it on the rails. And so a lot of people give me the credit, but it really needs to go back to those two ladies and Logan for what they do behind the scenes too.
All the kudos to them for making it seem so seamless, especially as we're heading into the world finals and everyone's getting reservations in and getting excited. And yeah, that team behind the scenes, just keeping it going, which is especially important because people just see the finished product. They see that the arena set, the cattle are ready. Everything comes together so seamlessly that a lot of people forget that there's so much that happens before the event and behind the scenes to get it ready.
Yeah, I think people, it was funny. I had never thought about it, but I did have a sorter tell me, you know, she had never been to the front side of a production event before. And so she was there and the cattle were getting unloaded. And she looked at me and she said, "Where are the numbers?" I said, "Well, what do you mean?" And she said, "Well, don't they come numbered? Like, I've just shown up and they come in the pen and they have numbers on them." I was like, no, that's what our cattle crew does too. So big shout out to our cattle boss, Sam. He's been going up and down the road with us for the last couple of years. And he's built an outstanding reputation, hard work ethic. He's a man with a plan on the backside there for the cattle. But the cattle do get numbered by us. Oftentimes it's Logan, Sam, and I in the back just sticking tags on there at the event too. So very fortunate to have a team that puts in the work.
But again, that speaks so much to how well you all put it together. That mm-hmm. Everyone just show up and it's
done,
there.
Right?
They're it's not magic. It.
Yes, it's magic. That's just it. Like Walt Disney said, I want people to be able to show up and, you know, experience it without, you know, have the magic there. And that's why I love the job. My title isn't that, but more of an event coordinator, being able to build the magic behind the scenes to make that experience. Because a lot of these people, you know, they don't get to go every year. They get to go, you know, maybe pick one or two events each year that they get to come and be a part of. And so building that special bond for them really allows them to have that memory to where they can talk about it with their friends year over year, and then also leave them wanting more, right? They're going to come back. They might not be able to make it the next year, but following year or year after. That's my goal, is I want to build a product to where when they come, hey, we're going to come back. And so it takes a lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, a lot of brain power. Logan does, I don't know how he can figure it out, but he can estimate what time we're on start time, and it's within 2 minutes, give or take on that too. So he's got it all up there in his head. He comes up with the big ideas, and It's just my job to help keep them in line and make sure that they're not too big to where it's, and if they are big, you know, making sure we got the right staff to come in and help us, because we don't like to say no. We just like to say, how far can we go? So it's been a big push with that as the sport keeps evolving and growing.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we just talked about, like, there's so many details that affect whether an event feels organized or too big to be enjoyable. And, you know, there's a perfect mix that you guys have to hit. What are some of the little things that you think that separate a really good event from, or I guess just a good event from a really great event?
I think the biggest thing comes down to staff. Our staff, Logan really likes to sit down with them and kind of give them the general idea. Hey, this is what I want the production to feel like. This is where I want people to show up. We want them to be happy. This is their vacation time that they're choosing to spend with us. What's the best product and service that we can give them? Yes, there's always going to be challenging people, challenging calls, challenging ideas that happen at an event, but it's how we respond. You know, it's a lot of times people can take it personally, but in the grand scheme of things, hey, we both want the same thing. You know, how do we get there? What do we do? By following our rules, following that protocol, I think it's really allowed us to build a staff that sees the vision in the product that we're selling. They feel a part, they feel engaged, and they feel like they're able to be a part of something bigger than themselves. And I truly think that our staff wants to give back too. You know, they come to our events, they want to work our events because they see the value, the friendships, the entertainment, the fun that we have here. And that's why we get into the sport. That's why we spend the money we do on our horses, on our travel gear, on our time off. You know, we don't take normal vacations. Our horse shows are the vacations too. And I think it's just the staff is the biggest thing. If everybody can get on the same page and hit on all the strides, I mean, it's really, they are the backbone of how the wheels keep going. The ones that step in, that offer to do more. And I think Cinch RCNC has been very blessed to have great staff members that go above and beyond their expectations. You know, we might hire some for judging and then they end up on a gate, or they come in and they're offering lunch. They're handing out lunch, or they're checking in on me and they're like, Tanner, you look like you're running around with your head cut off. And I'm like, I am, but if you can help me do this, you know, this will help. It's just offering that helping hand. And I think in a society where, you know, everybody just wants that instant gratification, you know, I'm just going to serve myself. You know, we're very blessed and fortunate to have people who are willing to take the extra minute to check in on our staff, check in on people, and just say, hey, what can I do to help you today? And I think that just really elevates the level of production that we have and that we can give to people, to our contestants that show up and support us each show.
Absolutely. And, you know, a person who comes to mind when you were mentioning that, Amy Wheatley, is such a perfect example of that. We had her on the podcast in the fall, and yeah, she talked about just going with the flow. It doesn't matter if you're working the gate or doing interviews like she does. You have to be able and willing to jump in wherever there is a need.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And she's like, I'm glad you brought her up. She's one of the first ones that come to mind for sure. She's done it all. She can judge, she can announce. If somebody, you know, an announcer needs to leave for a minute, she can step right in. She'll get up on the judges stand. If she doesn't know an answer, she'll find the answer and she'll make sure to hunt us down and get the answer. And so I think it's a great opportunity to show the grit that our staff has. Of being able to be flexible, especially in times when it's not easy to be flexible. You know, after a long, hot day, it's not always easy to jump up and kind of go that extra mile. But it takes a team. And in order for the team to succeed, there are some that just have to step in for a little bit due to circumstances. And that's the beauty of it. I know everyone that we have on staff at the World Finals is willing, able, and wants to do more. Because they know that they are part of something bigger and building a brand around the idea of, hey, we're going to come out here and we're going to put on the best world finals. We've got 6 different nations represented here. We've got over, you know, 650, 700 contestants competing, and the people in the stands. And, you know, we want to represent the association as best as we can. And that's how we do it, by making sure we're not showing, you know, our weak links, but we're stepping in because they need some help.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you just brought up the World Finals, because that is, it's the event of the year. Mm-hmm. Last year, we paid out over $1 million, which is groundbreaking and just incredible. Can you, let's back it up a little bit. How did the World Finals really originally start coming together, and how did you get involved in that?
Yeah, so my first year working for RSNC was in 2019. I had just accepted a position working for a landscaping company, and I was really bummed because I had been working with Logan and Jesse for a while, and they had mentioned something about coming to the finals, and hadn't gotten a call, and it was middle of May about this time, and I was like, man, I gotta get work going. And so ended up taking that job, and not a day later, Jessie Wolf calls me. She said, I'm sitting here at lunch, are you able to come down and work the finals? She said, you're probably going to be on cattle crew and work in the back pens, and it's hot, but we need you down there Wednesday to the start of it till the end. And I said, yep. I called my boss second day of work. I said, you got one more week of me and then I'm gone. So we ended up doing that. And then Dave called me and, invited me down to the work his finals, and sent over the contract and went down there. And yes, I was in the back pens working. I think we brought in 2,400 head of cattle for that event. And so tagging, stripping. And if you've never been to Fort Worth in June, it is hot, it is muggy, and it is humid, and it is not hot and muggy in Colorado, like it is in Fort Worth. And so I think I ended up going down about 2 pant sizes, in those 2 weeks. By the end of it, I had to go to Murdoch's and buy some more because they were not fitting. I had sweated out all of my excess. So it was a memorable first year down there. But I loved it. It was part of the production. When you arrive in that gate 42 of the Will Rogers and you see all the people, the banners, the hustle and the bustle, you just can't be but overwhelmed of, wow, I've arrived. This is the Ranch Sorting World Finals in the world. You roll through those gates, you see all these horses, you see all these rigs, you see all these people, and you kind of have to do a big gulp of like, wow, like this is the real deal. These are the people. I know when I first started, I was fangying over, seeing, oh my gosh, that's Brian Buckner and Sonia Buckner walking their horses across, or Jared and Joel Lesh walking their horses over there. You see the big trainers that you see online and in the sport, and you're like, I just walk past their horse, or their stalls are, two rows down. You get that feeling of, wow, like I've arrived. And getting the opportunity to go down that first year of World Finals, I was very blessed that they let me ride at that event. And Kathy Lasky and I actually won the Western Heritage 3 and below, that first class of the 2019 World Finals. And we won it. And I was reserve overall for the Western Heritage year end behind Kathy. So a great, great win, great memory. I'd still have that belt buckle. It's sitting up on my mantle. That was a kickoff to, okay, I can do this. And Dave even wrote me a check for my winnings there. And he said, how many people get to walk away from the finals with a check winning from it, and let alone be your first finals. And to that day, that's still been the only World Finals I have gotten a check from. So I'm still going back hoping I can someday, hopefully I'm not a one hit wonder at the finals, but
yeah, we're just not counting the paychecks.
Right. We're just not counting the pay. Yes. But the riding and all that too. And so, just being able to get involved there, I knew that the production side was where I wanted to go. It's where I wanted to be, that feeling of being able to ride in and listening to Rowdy Fuel, the announcer, call my name as a champion. It was like, man, I want to be a part of this production team. I want to be involved with this crew, because the way that they made me feel when I won my world championship title, it was on cloud nine. Hadn't felt anything like that other than when I got to marry my wife back in 2024. You just get those butterflies, that excitement, that joy. I can still remember petting my heart. You have those memories, and it's certainly been a blessing and a great journey to have RSNC be part of jumpstarting my career in the production industry.
Yeah. And so by the time people are pulling through the gates at the Will Rogers, getting ready for World Finals, like, you guys started preparing for it months and months and months ago. Like, how far in advance does planning for a World Final start to make the event happen?
It pretty much starts the Wednesday after the World Finals ends. We get home, we unload, and there's post-event production meetings. There's, you know, what went well, what can we improve on, what didn't go well, what kind of changes, ideas, you know, while it's fresh in our minds, we try to go through that. But you almost, it just never ends, which is a blessing, because we always do want to improve. We know we had our best last year, but we can do better for this year. And that's what I do love about working for this company is, you know, how do we make it better? What more can we do? How do we go out of our way to continue to improve the experience of the finals? And that is a full year process. It's given the riders time to think about it, digest what happened, what they liked about it. And, you know, their sorters are not short of opinions. They will let you know what they think, but it's a blessing in that, because with the sparks ideas and it sparks change and it sparks conversations. And I truly believe that through those conversations is how we've gotten to where we are today, is building the brand around listening to our members, contestants, things like that too. So very blessed to have those conversations, to help build the World Finals and the events that we have known to grow and love.
Yeah, and it's not like you're just putting on one event a year. Like, you have nine other, or mm-hmm. I don't even know how many other major events for Cincinnati RSNC that you're putting on. And, like, it's got to feel like controlled chaos at times. There's so many moving parts going into it, you know, at normal major events, all the super sorts, and at World Finals. So looking at World Finals week, what's happening behind the scenes that most of the ranch sorters have no idea is going on, would never think is happening to produce an event?
it's a lot of management of people, staff. Our staff, we encourage them to ride, so making sure that we've got those positions covered. But I think people don't understand the amount of cattle that we do run at the event. I think this year we have contracted just shy of 3,000 head of cattle. And so with that, you know, we're coordinating trucks in and out, and they're coming in all hours of the night into the early mornings. We're shipping, we're receiving. We've got a great stripping and numbering crew that's pulling the old tags off, shipping those cows out, receiving our new cattle, tagging them again, getting them settled, prepping the arena, the grounds crew. And then on the front side that the people see, you know, we have staff meetings every morning with the announcers or judges, you know, hey, what went well? Where can we improve? You know, this is something that we're looking forward on a tough day. This is what we got to do. You know, where can we do to support each other to get through it? Those types of things. And it's always coming back to, okay, how do we keep building this experience? This is a vacation that people have chosen to spend with us. They've invested tons of their time, their energy, and their money. And how do we give them a product that they want to continue showing up for every single day? And I think that's, I touched on it earlier too, but our staff really cares about our members. We really want them to feel the importance. And most of our staff members, if you pass them in the hallway, they know your name. And I think that's a big thing that makes people, and especially our members and our riders, feel welcome, feel part of something bigger, is us walking by them, taking the time to say, hey, asking them about their kids, asking them about how their rides are going. Oh, you got your tough luck here. I think Shelley Fitzgerald said, you're one check away from the finals from bailing yourself out. You know, it only takes one check there because it's on such a large scale. The money's there. Like you said, we paid out over $1.1 million this past year in prizes and cash. And as sorters, we invest all this time and energy into competing that we want to do well. And it's a long, hot 8 days in Fort Worth. And so it's easy to get down, but when you have those little breaks and, you know, we give coffee away, Dave Wolf and Don Goddard drive around in their golf cart every morning, handing out little donuts and a hot coffee. And it's just that feeling of, hey, you know, we're all people. And if you had a bad day, at least, you know, you got a free donut, you know, in the morning, things like that too. So, it's a way for us to give back to the members and say, hey, we appreciate you coming. That's a small token. But I do think it's the little things that make us stand out.
So aside from the donuts and the coffee, which, you know, huge draw, I go just for those. what else do ranchers have to look forward to at this year's event?
Oh man, we are, we're gearing up for another large event this year. I think we're sitting at just right at 1200 stalls for the event. We added two more gold. Yeah, it's going to be huge. Our goal, we added another 5 gold shootout class, the number 5, a U.S. rider gold shootout. And so with that, we're hoping that we can pay out over $500,000 in one day between those 4 classes there. So a lot of money [S2] Wow. [S1] To be given out. We have 2 classes that have $37,500 added in each class. And so those opportunities there too. I think the real hype this year is coming up with our For Charity program. There's a lot that's involved on the behind the scenes of getting those 4-year-olds ready. Our featured trainers have done an outstanding job getting those 4-year-olds working and ready. And it's a program that I can definitely see Cinch RSNC investing more time and opportunities in. We just ran one in Waco. That was a great success there too. And there's a lot of ideas around the fraternity. And it's something that the sport, as it continues to grow, is only going to lean on it more. So I'm really excited to see kind of where we get to build that in the coming years too. And this year, I think we're going to see a really talented set of horses in the show pen, which is always exciting. It's always neat to kind of take notes and compare and drool over those open level horses that our trainers are riding, just to see where the sport's taken us even in over the last 3 years. The horsepower at finals is phenomenal, and the people that get to swing a leg over them, it's nice when you can walk up to them and congratulate them and give them a handshake and tell them a job well done. And you go online and see that horse in those winners photos and you're like, I got to brush that horse, or, you know, see it in person, things like that too. So I'm really looking forward to the level of talent that we're bringing in this year from our contestants all over the country. We've got people from coast to coast, Canada, Mexico, Brazil, Australia, and I think even France is coming in this year. So when we say world finals, it is a world finals event. We've got people coming in, leasing horses from all these different countries. We've got our affiliate programs working. They're taking off, and it's because people believe in what the product that we're doing, but they also see the value and the production side of the RSNC World Finals event. It feels like the finale for the year, and it's neat to come together all as a community, whether the contestants get to come in person or if they get to watch it through our live stream too. You know, we're working on building that experience for our viewers at home who can't make it, to where it doesn't feel like they've lost too much by not being there in person.
Yeah, and absolutely, that is such a wonderful thing that no matter where you are, you can watch ranch shorting on demand, find the live stream, find our trainers' videos on Ride TV. We'll drop a link in the copy of this podcast so you can learn more about ranch shorting and how to get involved through Ride TV as well. And now you just talked about how it is a world finals. It truly is. There's people from all over the globe that are coming and are bringing horses or borrowing horses. Ranch shorting has just grown tremendously over the years. And the expectations from contestants have grown with it too, to be able to produce an event of this size, of this magnitude, to support them. From your perspective, what has been the biggest driver behind the growth of the sport of ranch shorting?
I think the biggest driver comes with how easy and accessible it is to people who have a horse. It's not like roping where you got to go out and practice. Certainly, practice on cattle and the sorting pen helps, and we have a whole list of featured trainers that we send people to. But it's the idea that if you've got a horse loaded in a trailer and you go on the RSNC website, you can find a sorting anywhere, any weekend, across the country. And being able to just load up the family and go there and know, hey, I don't know anybody. You get to draw in your partners we find the partners for you. We have that draw option to where you can draw all your rides. You can pick up to four rides and draw your other one. But we give that option to allow people who want to come out and chase some cattle, find the fun in the sport. They get the option to just show up and ride. And it doesn't have to be a finished horse, doesn't have to be a completely trained horse. It's an opportunity to allow people that any kind of horse can come in, and you're welcome. Now, depending on those specific needs and the goals that the individuals have, you know, they get to decide how much they want to invest in the sport. But there's always going to be a place for the beginners. There's always going to be a place for the open riders. RSNC events, we require producers to have beginner level classes and open level classes at every single event, because we truly want a full range of people at events able to go in and compete in the classes that are designed for them. And so the accessibility of it is the biggest driver in the sport, that I think is the rules are simple, sorting them in order and get them in time. And if you sort them out of order, it's a no time. So really neat to have something so simple be such a fun game that everyone can play in.
Yeah, pretty straightforward, easy to figure out. What do you think makes ranch sorting different from other Western disciplines?
I think for us, it really is that sense of community. Like I said, I've gotten to know so many people throughout the sport, and a lot of the people have been able to get connected because they go to these regional type events. They go to the bigger shows that producers put on, and they meet people, and then they connect on social media, and they're able to keep up with them, and then they look forward to visiting with them again. And so when you build that type of bond with people, you build those connections, you build those friendships and relationships, and it gives them a sense of, okay, this is now my sorting community, this is my sorting family, this is who I'm a part of now. And you start planning your weekends, your vacations, your birthdays, you know, those special types of weekends with these people. And it just gives them that sense of something that's bigger than them. You know, they have the option to come in and allow this organization, these people, this community to kind of help hold them up, in the good times and the bad times. And I think it's just refreshing to be around people that are like-minded, that just want to go out and have a good time and, escape the work week. And you know, there's just nothing better than swinging over a leg on a good horse and chasing some cows.
Yeah. And so at the end of the day, Tanner, you are helping to create experiences for thousands of ranch sorters and families who love this industry, who love being part of this sport. And I think you just alluded to it a little bit, but what is the most rewarding part of helping to build and grow these events and this association?
I think the biggest thing for me, it's a tough question to answer because there's so many things, but it's watching the winners be recognized and giving them a stage and a platform to where we are competing with the Cutters and the Reigning Cowhorse and kind of those more bigger Western experiences that have these phenomenal events, NCHA Futurity, the Snaffle Bit, you know, to where we're starting to give them that level of recognition and production. And getting to see them walk across the stage and accept that recognition. You know, we have our Hall of Fame, we have our Challenge of the Champions. We've got people that have been sorting for years that when they get that first plaque or they get their first buckle or they get that opportunity to be recognized on the world stage, there's just something that gets the butterflies going for me that really excites me about watching other people succeed in a sport that I've known that they've put in countless hours and times into it. And so it's being able to reward them for their hard work and their dedication and being them and celebrating with them in the wins too, and the losses. You know, I think a lot of close friendships have come out from a lot of tough calls, tough losses in the sorting pen. But the excitement comes from when they get back on and the first ride didn't go as planned, but they get to go do it again and then they win. It's, you're jumping up and down in the stands. Thinking of Yosevani Castillo, he wasn't on the State Extravaganza team a few years back, but he was in the stands and you knew what state he was rooting for. He had the Florida crowd, the plant. I mean, it was like a rock concert in that arena. And so it's giving people the opportunity to be engaged even outside of the pen and feeling that excitement and that joy for those wins is huge.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Tanner, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about everything ranch sorting. For our listeners who want to learn more about the sport and about the organization, they can head over to rsnc.us or just ranchsorting.com. Nice and simple. But thank you so much, Tanner. I appreciate it.
I appreciate it, Emily. Thank you.
Once again, we'd like to thank Tribute for sponsoring this episode of The Ride. Thank you guys for tuning into The Ride podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and please be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Follow Horse and Rider Magazine on social media and find us at horseandrider.com to see all the cool things that we're up to. And if you have any comments or questions, please be sure to hit us up at horseandrider@equinenetwork.com. We want to hear from you guys. And if you like what you're listening to, please be sure to leave us a review on iTunes.